Good morning. If you have a Bible, well, if you don't, you have time to get one somewhere. But we're going to look at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 23 and verse 32. Luke 23, 32. Did you find Luke? Matthew, Mark, Luke? Luke 23:32. So thank you for praying for us at camp. You're teaching at camp, you need the Lord's help to teach so the kids can understand the gospel, and then you need help to answer questions too. So we had one night, we had a whole bunch of girls. It's a girls' camp, that's why it's a girls. So we had a whole bunch of girls stay after and wanted to ask questions. And one of the girls' questions was, did Jesus go to hell for 3 days after he died on the cross? Because obviously something happened for 3 days when Jesus' body was in the grave. So this is your question. How would you answer that question? Did Jesus go to hell for 3 days after the cross? So think about your answer to that question. Some churches, I was raised in a church where we had to recite a "What do you believe?" statement. And in that "What do you believe?" statement, we call it a creed. We said that he descended into hell for 3 days. There are some Bible teachers who say Jesus did not finish paying for sin on the cross. And so while his body was in the grave, he himself went to hell for 3 days and finished the work. So what's right? What is right? How would you answer that question? Well, I thought of, to answer the question, I thought about this. I thought about, what about what Jesus said from the cross? How many sayings did Jesus say from the cross? This is important to remember. So if you can remember this, this will really help you out. But there's seven things. He said seven, I'll call them statements or seven sayings that Jesus said when he was at the cross. And so let's just think about the seven sayings. On the cross. So, did Jesus die and then go to hell for some reason? Well, obviously, he separated from his body for 3 days for the resurrection. And the real him is somewhere, right? We know that. The moment you die, you are somewhere. And that would be true for Jesus, right? Jesus dies, closes his eyes in death. He's got to open them somewhere. So that's a given. After Jesus dies, he's immediately, right then, he is somewhere. We have seven sayings. Some of the sayings are here in the in Luke. But let's just, I will try to remember the sayings in the order that people say that these sayings happened, okay? So the first saying on the cross, I'm going to abbreviate. But it begins with a prayer. Father. That's his first saying on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He's praying for the soldiers. It may be bigger than the soldiers. It may be everyone who's putting him on the cross. But he's saying, Father, forgive them. I'm not writing the whole thing down there because we don't have all morning. But Father, forgive them. But he says, for they do not know what they are doing. So now during this time, let's ask another question. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? We'll put a timeline with this. This will get better. We'll have the sayings. We'll put a timeline up. How many hours was Jesus on the cross? If you said six, you get the prize. So if we start here, but if it's 6 hours, when did it begin? What time did the cross begin? Usually in Bible speak, in Bible language, they said it's the third hour. But they're counting from when you're supposed to be up in the morning, 6 a.m. So it's 9 a.m. Are you up at 6 a.m? All right. If you read your Bible, you have to be up at 6 because the day starts at 6. And then the third hour is when Jesus was crucified. And so this is going to be sometime, the third hour, it's sometime after 9 a.m. Sometime after 9 a.m. And that's when when he gets on the cross. And he then, when he concludes the cross, it's from the third hour to the ninth hour. So if you add the third hour to the ninth hour, so that would be concluding it the sixth hour. Wait a minute. Yeah, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, so the ninth hour. So this, it concludes it at 3 p.m. So there's 6 hours on the cross. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Jesus is on the cross for 6 hours paying for your sins. Now, does that strike you as wonderful? If you have to pay for your own sins, how long will it take you? Eternity. It will take you forever, right? So Jesus, in 6 hours, actually can make a payment, an eternal payment. And so, in this 6 hours, because it's God who became man, he's making an eternal payment, which is a wonderful thing. All right, so we have saying number one, and then we have saying number two, which is the one we're going to see here in Luke. We're going to see this one in Luke, and this is where Jesus tells one of the criminals who was on one of the crosses, today you will be with me in paradise. Which is another name for heaven. Paradise is another name for heaven. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now we have the third saying, which is in John. It's not in Luke. Don't turn to John. You can take my word for it. Later you can check me out, all right? But in John then, Jesus gives the care of his mother to his disciple John. And so that's the saying, woman, That's what he calls his mother. What if your son called you woman? Woman? Woman?
Well, it was very polite. Woman, behold your son. And then there's more. It says, behold your mother.
So he talks to his mother and he says, woman, behold your son. And then he looks at John and he says, behold your mother. So he's giving the care of his mother, not even to his own brothers, but to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was more concerned that his mother have the fellowship of believers, the partnership of believers, than a family that did not believe. That's how important the family of God is. Sometimes the people we love in the Lord Jesus are closer than our own blood relatives. All right. Now all of these things happen, and then we've got 12 o'clock happening, which is the sixth hour, which would be in Bible speak the sixth hour. And what happens, I'll put p.m. here, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., what happens from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m.? I don't have black. Let me try brown. Does that look like darkness? Okay, that's dark. All right? Because what happens from 12 to 3? The first 3 hours, the sun is out. And then the last 3 hours, from 12 until 3, the sun is gone, but it's supernatural gone. It's not just a cloud. Suddenly it gets dark. And do you know how many sayings happen during the darkness? Zero. Something is happening in the darkness that God has hidden from you. You can't see it. Something is happening in the darkness that you can't hear because God hid it from you. You know, we can make a really good guess. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. My guess, and I'm 99.9% sure, that this is the time when God turned the lights out, and God the Father took your sin and my sin, and in the darkness, Jesus Christ paid for my sins. He was alone. People couldn't watch it. It was silent. It was only between God the Son and God the Father. And it was complete. So 3 hours, because we think there's 7 hours, so we think, well, there ought to be something said, but this is 3 hours, so really, if this is 3 hours, this should go way down here. But we still have how many more sayings? We still have, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, we still need 4, 5, 6, 7, we still have 4 more sayings. One of the Gospels says then, at the ninth hour, another Gospel says about the ninth hour, and that would be at 3 p.m., then the Lord Jesus Christ cried out. You got a guess on this? Is it in here? Yeah, it's in this Gospel. What do you think the Lord Jesus, the first saying, as the sun starts to break out, about the ninth hour, it is an expression of grief, an expression of sadness, an expression of shock. Because in the darkness, Jesus Christ, who only knew holiness his whole life, and he only knew closeness to his Father, was separated from his Father. And so this is where Jesus cried out at the end of the 3 hours, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's kind of the middle of all of the sayings, isn't it? This is really the middle saying. It's the center of everything. This word, forsaken, do you ever use the word forsake? We hear the word abandoned a lot. A child is abandoned. It used to be a practice, if you had twins, it was bad luck. So you took one of those twins and you abandoned them in the forest. Choose one to die. Bang, you're gone. We keep this one. That's the word there. It's also used of an orphan, someone who has no father. Can you imagine that for 3 hours, the Lord Jesus Christ is not calling God, is not calling his Father, Father. He's saying, you're my God. And the relationship between Father and Son is broken at that point. And Jesus, the Father, God the Father, was his God because God is holy. And what does God have to do with sin? Well, he must punish sin. Even if it's my sin on his Son, the holy God still has to punish sin, even if it appears on his own Son. Jesus did no sin, right? He thought no sin. He never spoke sin. But God in heaven made him to become sin. Or you can think about it this way. Isaiah says he laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. And so when that sin, think of your latest sin, if you will. I don't know what it was, but something this morning, obviously. That sin separated God the Son from God the Father, so Jesus Christ could not say, my Father, in his prayer. Every time Jesus prays, he prays a specific name of God that applies to his prayer. Imagine my sin, even the smallest sin that I did, God placed on Jesus on the cross. So Jesus could not say for 3 hours, my Father, my Father. Because God the Father separated himself from God the Son in some way, so that eternal punishment happened. And maybe not even in 6 hours, maybe in 3, just the darkness hours. I don't know. It's all a unit. But my God, why have you forsaken? So he went from Father to my God. And then after my God, why have you forsaken me? He says, saying number 5, oops, I thirst. And I'm not sure if it says it here. I know it says it in John. And in John it says, so that the scripture of the Bible would be fulfilled. Jesus said, I thirst. And the Lord Jesus is thinking about, in each of these sayings, I am making the Bible come true. And Jesus is dying. He's not trapped here. Jesus is not trapped. This is not against Jesus' will. He's showing us here that everything is planned, everything is on purpose, and everything is by his decision. So if he thinks about the whole Bible, when I hit my toe and it starts bleeding, I'm not usually thinking about the Bible. But you can imagine the Lord Jesus on the cross. He's bleeding. He has been separated for 3 to 6 hours from his Father in heaven. He has nails in his hand. He has nails in his feet. He's dying. And he thinks, what is there in the Bible that I still have to do? Isn't that amazing? What is still left for me to do that is God's will for my life? Whoa. So he says, I thirst, and that fulfills, maybe it's Psalm 69. It says, for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. So when he said, I thirst, what did they give Jesus to drink? They filled a sponge with vinegar. They put it on a stick and they lifted it up to him, and he had some of that vinegar. He tasted it. And then, with a loud voice, what did the Lord Jesus say? I like to say this as a group every time, because I do it with the kids. But in a loud voice, Jesus said, and if you remember it, say it with me right now, it is finished. All right. This is what he said. He wet his tongue here, and he said, what did he say again, everyone? It is finished. If we thought about it, really, in the Bible, it's just one word. We just put the it is on it to make good English sense. But he had one word to say about everything that happened. It is finished. Now he needs a final saying. But look what he's got so far. Father, forgive them. Today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. What is his last saying? It's a prayer. What can he, I think we can even figure it out without even looking. He's finished the work for sin, right? What can he call God again? The sin father. The relationship is restored again, isn't it? And so he says, we see Father way up here. At the beginning of the cross, he prays, Father, Son of the Father. And because of Jesus Christ's relationship to the Father, he can forgive anyone he wants. If he says, you're forgiven, God the Father looks at God the Son and says, if he says so, because he's my son, I forgive you in Jesus Christ. If Jesus is your Savior, God the Father accepts you the same way he accepts his son. You find that amazing? If any man is in Christ, the Bible, for our current day and age in the church, the Bible says if any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. And so what the Bible says about when you trust Jesus as Savior, it's irreversible. That means you can't change it. And God takes you out of your sin and out of your darkness and actually puts you in the Lord Jesus Christ and makes you a new creation. That's what we call new eternal life, right? And puts you in Jesus, and you can't get out. He says, I give eternal life to them and they will never perish. That means no hell in John 10:29 and 30 and that area. He says, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What's Jesus saying in John 10? He's saying, well, there you are, dead and dying in your sins, and you receive the Lord Jesus, and God gives you the wonderful gift of eternal life. And boy, there, now you have life. That's a little cap on there. But then the Lord Jesus says, and no one will snatch you. That means, boom, pull you out. No one will pull you out of my hand, Jesus says. Well, that's amazing. And then he wonders, do you feel safe? Well, you ought to feel safe when Jesus says, I give eternal life to them. Because how long is eternal? It is forever. So really, right then and there, you're safe. But he wants you to feel safer. And so he says, you're in my hand. But then he says, you know, some people are hard sells. That means we can't talk you into anything. So God says, I want to talk to you people who don't feel safe. And he goes on then and talks about another hand. He says, first, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then he says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. How safe do you feel now? You have eternal life. You have the promise of never perishing, never going to hell. The promise that you're in the hand of Jesus, where no one, not even yourself, can pull yourself out. And then you have the promise that if you still don't feel safe, you're in the Father's hand as well. Those promises are found in John chapter 10, verses 27 through about 30. And so they would be good to look at. And so we have again the Lord Jesus praying as a son to his Father. The separation is over. The penalty for sin is paid. And he says, Father, I don't know if he says hand or hands here. You'll have to look it up. Into your hand? Into your hands? Is it singular or plural?
Plural?
Okay. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. I think it's probably small as it is. Human self. Alright, oh, isn't that a great way to end it? Here's the seven sayings from the cross, and now every one of us knows them. And it starts out with a son who has a relationship to the Father. It ends with a son who has now a restored relationship with the Father. The lights are back on. The lights are back on. And he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, with all that information, you have to talk to this little girl. Well, she's one of the older ones. I think she was probably 13. Her name's Ailey. And Ailey says, when Jesus died, did the next 3 days Jesus go to hell? And I thought of this. And you now are thinking of this too. And from just the sayings on the cross, did Jesus go to hell after he died? Everyone's saying, no. All right, well, let's see. I would say no because this prayer here, into your hands I commit my spirit. Where is Jesus going? And commit means give. Okay, I give my spirit. Where is Jesus saying he's immediately going? He's going back to the hands of the Father. The Bible says that he was set at the right hand of the Majesty, that's God the glorious King, on high. So I would say because of this right here, the Lord Jesus Christ said the moment he closed his eyes in death, he opened them with his Father. Do you know why? Because there was no sin left to pay. People who say that something wasn't finished on the cross are not understanding the Bible correctly. Everything was finished on the cross. How do we know everything was finished on the cross? Another reason to know: Jesus did not have to go to hell to finish anything for my salvation, because I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Number six. What is number six, everyone? It is finished. You know what finished means? Finished. There's nothing left to finish. That should encourage you. Because when you take Jesus as your Savior, you come as a sinner, and you know your sin caused the death of Jesus. But when you come to Him as a sinner, you're taking a finished gift. And so we realize for Ailey, however, Ailey, Jesus said He finished the work for your sin. There was no need for Him to go to a place of punishment after He died. And He says He went to the Father. Anything else? Okay, we've got so far two of our sayings here. You're helping poor Ailey. She's distressed. She wasn't that distressed, but she did have a question. Did Jesus go to hell for 3 days after He died? Any of the other sayings here would help us answer this question. What else? What do you see up there? It might say, did Jesus go to hell and not go to heaven? Alright. You guys are so non-responsive. Do you know what you call, and I'm going to have to check this out with Paul Kaku to make sure this is true, an Alzheimer's patient who is totally unable to talk, to speak, to turn, to feed themselves? They call them nons. They're non-responsive. Don't be a Christian non. All right? So I know in your heart now you want to speak, but so too bad. Opportunity's passed. Today you will be with me in hell. Oh, no. Is that what it says? I left it blank. Today you'll be with me where? Don't be a non. Today you'll be with me where? Paradise. Isn't that wonderful? Now later in the Bible, Paul explains that paradise is the third heaven, the place where God has His special throne. So, we gotta circle this one too. No, of course. The Lord Jesus was saying, you're going to be with me in paradise. Jesus did not go to hell. By the way, are you looking forward to heaven? Or are you saying, I just have one more thing to do on earth before Jesus comes. I got to quick get this done. And then Jesus can come. But we had another girl. Her name was Greta. And she was the granddaughter of a preacher. And she says, I don't want Jesus to come. I want to get married. I want to have children. And that was something else she wanted to do too. And this is better. This is better. You see, in heaven, you have a Father who will never leave you, because He left Jesus. Remember, He came on the cross as the Son, with a relationship to His Father. On behalf of you, He was separated from His Father so that you and I would never be separated. I mean, you probably have the best family on earth, but you also probably have argued and gotten mad at your father. Imagine a father or mother that you never would get mad or angry at because it's perfect. And then a perfect home. The idea of paradise is a word that presents heaven as a perfect home. Because here's the word around, and it's giving the idea that this is just like the Garden of Eden. This is a really bad picture of heaven. It looks more like a jail. But nevertheless, it's the idea that there's a garden, this word is used of a garden, that has a wall around it that keeps all the predators, you know, the bugs that eat your garden, the birds that eat your garden, the rabbits that eat your garden, I hate deer, the deer that eat your garden, all the enemies, the Bible says, catch the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Every animal that could destroy fruit for God is on the outside of this walled enclosure. It's an enclosed garden that's the most beautiful garden in the universe, and it's protected by God, so no evil ever gets in it. Are you looking forward to heaven? And that's the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm not just in some place where spirits are floating around on clouds. I'll in the Father's house, where I'm loved, I'm protected, it's a garden, I'm fruitful. Wow. Well, I hope that answered her question. I did have another verse for her. And that was a verse from 1 Peter 2:24. And it says, He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross. In that verse, it shows you where the battlefield for sin happened. And the battlefield for sin happened. Wow, I've got no space for more stuff. So do you have these things written down? If not, I am sorry. You can take a picture, that's easier. And you don't have to worry about writing. But I like 1 Peter 2:24, and I'm just going to write this up here. 1 Peter 2:24. Because some of the Bibles, just because of a little difference between them, will say cross and some will say tree. Well, the cross is a tree. It's wood. All right? So it says, He himself carried our sins in his body. So let's put a body up here on the cross. And let's put sin on that body. He himself carried our sins in his body on the tree. Where does the war happen that removes sin from your life and from the world eventually? It happens in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the spirit when he's in hell. There's no suffering of the inside soul of Christ that has to happen after his body is gone. You're going to see why in a second, and you'll thank me. Afterwards, you'll say, Craig, thank you. I never saw that before. Maybe. So, it says, so here is where the war happened. And it happened in his body on the cross or on the tree. So when the body is in the grave, the war is over, and Jesus can go to the Father and wait for 3 days for the next victory. What victory happened on the cross? The payment for sin. What victory happened with the empty tomb? The raising to life to give the gift of life. What do you receive when you receive Jesus as Savior? You receive a paid debt. The payment for your sins, the death penalty is over. Sins are defeated on the cross. And in the resurrection over here, what do you get? You get the gift of eternal life. And so both of those things are in the cross.
Alright, now let's go back to creation over here. This is the timeline. All the way to the cross. What's the first battle with sin in the Bible that we know of, reading it just from Genesis on? I'm not counting Satan, whatever happened in heaven with Satan, I'm not counting that. So what's the first battle? What should I draw here?
Craig, draw a tree. I'm going to draw a tree.
Let's make it green. Look, it's a tree. All right? And look at this.
How did sin come into the world? Through a tree. Right? Came in through this tree.
And there is the actual fruit. It came in through a tree. How did sin go out of the world?
A tree. It came in the world through a tree, but it went out of the world through the body of Jesus, right? How did it come into the world?
Through the body of Adam.
Adam had to physically, in his body, take that fruit. It didn't come just because the fruit was there. It didn't come when Eve was tricked and didn't know what she was doing. It came when Adam disbelieved and disobeyed God, and in one act of disobedience, he took this fruit, and God said, "The world is guilty." And in the body of Adam, sin came into the world. And in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin went out of the world. There is a title for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the second Adam. Isn't that a good name? The second Adam. Also the last man. Meaning the last Adam or the second Adam. Because here is Adam number one. This is the first Adam. I like this. Because we can really clearly see how sin came into the world and goes out of the world. One man made a choice for the whole family of humanity, the whole family of people, Adam. And he brought sin and death into the world because of that decision and that act of disobedience. Sin and death comes into the world. One man, Jesus Christ, in his body, pays for sin. So the Bible says there's justification of life for all men. Meaning, whoever comes to him as Savior. Does anyone realize we never read Luke? It's okay, you have a Bible, you can read it at home. But I hope, however, the lessons are important. I think it's good to remember there are seven sayings. And you may want to memorize them and find where they're found, because you have to go through four gospels to find every one of them and put the four stories together. But then it's a wonderful thing, because they teach fabulous lessons. That Jesus Christ, God the Son, was forsaken by his Father so that we might become righteous. But there's no separation anymore. There's no separation anymore, and there's no separation for anyone who has trusted Jesus. So There's two men up on the board right now, right?
There is this man who is the first Adam, right?
And he's a family father. He's dad. When you come into the world, you know who your father is? Adam. Number one. There are people who have trusted Jesus as Savior. Do you know who your father is? Adam number two. And the last Adam, Jesus. Who's your father? Today you are either in Adam or you are in Christ. There's nobody in the middle here. And you have to look at this picture and say, where am I? You might look at the picture and say, where do I want to be? If you never have taken this wonderful free paid for gift, then you take Christ and you get the payment with Christ and you get the resurrection life with Christ. And there's so much more. We don't even know what God is going to show to us in the ages to come other than it's grace and kindness. So today, learn the seven sayings. Think about the Bible as people ask you questions. Go to the Bible to get the answers to people's questions. And ask yourself, where am I today? If you want to change your family today, you can change your family by coming to the Lord Jesus. You still have your earthly father, of course. And you'll have Adam's sin nature until Jesus returns. But you also have a new heavenly father. Well, I'm going to close in prayer. And boy, thank you for your attention today and helping Ailey out, because now she gets it. So we helped Ailey out and she understood. I don't know if we helped Greta out or not, but we helped Ailey. Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful to draw near in such an intimate way to the Lord Jesus, the last hours of his life, and to be able to overhear what he's saying in his last sentences, his last words on earth. I pray that you'll give us a greater appreciation and love for our Savior. I pray that no one would only be in Adam today. I pray that each person would have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you put us in Christ the moment we do, out of death and into life. What a wonderful promise. Give us a great week. Help us to read the Bible and speak to us as we do. Protect us. Keep us even health-wise. We have to pray for our safety and health for this week. And we just commit the week to you in Jesus' name. Amen.